Bruchim Habayim to another week of Parsha Insights. As we said a moment ago, Chazak, Chazak, Vinish Chazek, we have the schus to be able, with Parshas Pekudei, to finish Sefer Shemois. I certainly hope that our learning from Shemois through Pekudei gave us insights and a greater appreciation. I certainly hope that it enhanced our Kiddush on Shabbos Kodesh. And we say how grateful we are to the Ribbono Shel Olam Makir Tova that we were able to go through Sefer Shemois with Parsha Insights, as we said now with Parshas Pekudei, Chazak, Chazak, Vinis Chazek, and we should be zoiche to start and finish the rest of the Chamishe Chumshei Torah. Obviously, besides speaking about Pekudei, we just celebrated Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis, Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha, and with that theme in mind, I prepared something from the parasha that actually starts based on a Sifarno, and I want to use that on the parasha and tie it into the month of Adar and to Megillas Esther and to Purim and see if we could come up with one theme. The shir is sponsored L'Zecher Nishmas U'Le'ile Nishmas Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel. May their Neshama Toheris have a Lichtige Gan Eden. It's also sponsored this week by Eddie and Zelda Zemel. We're very grateful to Eddie and Zelda for their sponsorship. Yashikayach, thank you. Firstly, their sponsoring for today was the 19th yard site of Zelda's mother on Beis Adar Beis. So the shir is being said, L'Zecher Nishmas U'Le'ili Nishmas, Zelda's mother, Chana Leia, Bas Reb Chaim Yechiel. And in the schus of the chizuk of the Limud HaTorah, may it give an aliyah for the neshama higher and higher in Shemayim. Eddie and Zelda also sponsored as a simcha to honor the bar mitzvah of their grandson, Ari Shulgazer, in Atlanta this coming Shabbos, a beautiful mazel tov. He should be'ezus Hashem vaksois to be an erlich hayid, a talmud chacham, a goyin, and a tzaddik. And Eddie and Zelda also sponsored as a schus refuah shleima for all of the chaylim in Klal Yisrael. May they be zeicha to refuahs and yeshuahs bekarei. We're familiar with the medrash that tells us at the beginning of Pekudei that, whereas the pasuk says Eile Pekudei Hamishkan, the medrash is actually Tanchuma tells us that this building of the Mishkan achieved for us as a kapara from the Chet of the Egel. That's a well-known Tanchuma. The Mishkan served as a kapara for the Chet of the Egel. Over the years and recently, we've spoke out multiple pshatim how this is a kapara for that. How the building of the Mishkan achieves atonement for the Chet HaEgel. Most recently, over the last few years, we spoke out a very, very, very powerful pshat based on the word Eile, because by the Chet HaEgel, we sinned with the word Eile Elohecha Yisrael. And here, by the building of the Mishkan, by the Binyan HaMishkan, the parsha opens up Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. And the Medrash tells us that this word Eile achieved atonement for that word Eile. And in previous years, we spoke out what's so magical. What's the deep lessons hidden in the word Eile? For that, you'll have to listen to our other shiurim to see what we said in previous years. But now I want to discuss the Sifarno. The Sifarno says, when he analyzes the Chet HaEgel, had it been that we created and worshipped the Egel merely and only, and obviously as terrible and as unconscionable as it was, the Sifarno says, had it been that we only created and worshipped the Egel, we could have made our way back to the Ribbono Shel Olam through tshuva. And then if we would have done proper tshuva, that would have made that there would have been no need for the breaking of the Luchos. But what happened was, said the Sifarno, beyond the creating and the worshiping of the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that we were dancing. He saw we were celebrating before the Egel. he realized that we were doing it, and this is the operative word for tonight's Parsha Shir. He realized that we were serving and worshiping the Egel b'simcha, with an exuberance, with an excitement. And that means we were past the breaking point. That meant that we wouldn't be able to, in any easy fashion or tshuva, rectify our actions. Not so much the creating and the worshiping of the Egel, as much as it was the dancing, the simcha, the celebrating. Why? What is it about this Nekuda more than just the worshiping of the Avodah Zarah that makes us unworthy of the Luchos? In other words, the Luchos per se were not broken for the worshiping of the Avodah Zarah. The Luchos were broken for the Simcha element. Why? How can you explain the Sifarno? What is it about the Simcha element more than just the worshiping of Avodah Zarah? You would think for the worshiping of Avodah Zarah, that's worthy enough for the Luchos to be broken, but no. It was the Simcha that made us unworthy to still have the Luchos. The Avir Yaakov brings down a beautiful explanation. There is no comparing a person who does an action, be it a mitzvah or an aver, and we'll get to that in a moment, with Simcha and without Simcha. When the person does an action, as I said a moment ago, be it a mitzvah or be it an avera, the action itself could be viewed as just an otherwise mechanical deed. But when the person does the action and he adds the element, he performs it with the simcha, with a merriment, with an excitement, with an exuberance, with a celebration, that causes that deed, that action that was done, to mamish penetrate within the bones of the person. In other words, now it will have an indelible imprint and an indelible impression. It could have been the action by itself was merely a mechanical deed. But when it comes with the simcha aspect, now it has the ability to make an indelible imprint. It mamish becomes a chelek of the person's bones. In fact, if you take a look, the Cheta Egel, says the Sifarno, is actually categorized as chato gedayla, not a chet. Chato gedayla, a great chet. Why? It may very well be that the creating and the worshiping was a chet. But when it comes with the merriment, when it comes with the simcha, when that's involved, you turn a chet into chato gedayla. In fact, when Moshe criticized Aaron, it was for proclaiming the words, Chag LaShem Mocher. If you take a look by the Egel, the Lashon that was used was Chag LaShem, a festival. It turned an event into a celebration. And that's worse than their crafting of the Egel. I hope the Olam, be it in the Heichal. Once again, I had the opportunity when I traveled this week to a chasna to test people who came over to me. Oh, I listen to your shir every week. I enjoyed it. My only question I need to know to see if they're real or not is, what line do I say every single week? And that's how I know if they're telling the truth. For those who are in the Heichal and those who are here now listening live on the phone and those who will hear the recording when it's sent out, I hope you appreciate the profundity of the Sifarno. The Sifarno is not just talking about doing action with or without Simcha. When one does an action with Simcha, it mamish becomes a bria chadasha. It becomes a different chefza in Gansin. It makes an indelible imprint. It becomes a chelik of the person. It becomes part of their bones. And in the negative, it could take something that otherwise would have been merely a chet, and now it's categorized as chato gedayla. That's what the added simcha, the excitement, does. It mamish enters within the very bloodstream of the person. It causes that aveira to become a chelek of the sinner. That means if the person would just do, which is of course a terrible thing in and of itself, but if a person would just do the chet, The chet would be viewed as this action, perhaps a mechanical deed, but it would not necessarily go within the person, but perhaps remain on the outside. When the person does it with joy and a simcha, it mamish becomes the chelek of him, as if it's entering mamish his bloodstream. And now we could appreciate the Medrash Tanchuma that we opened up with. What did the Medrash Tanchuma say? That in order to achieve atonement for the Chet HaEgel, we needed an Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, a Binyan HaMishkan. But if we are now describing, says the Sifarno, that what was the Chet of the Egel? Not merely the crafting and the making and the worshipping of it. But what was the Chata Gedayla of the Egel? The Simcha, the joy, the excitement, the exuberance, the merriment. So now, if I need to achieve atonement for that, then it has to be something on the opposite extreme that has the same depth. It must now be something that's accompanied with the same depth of satisfaction, the same depth of pride, the same depth of simcha. And that's why when we say Eile Pekudei HaMishkan is not merely referencing, Rabbeisa, hear me clearly, it's not merely referencing the making of the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, the Binyan HaMishkan, because in order to achieve atonement for the Chata de Gedayla, you need on the opposite extreme the same depth, the same level and quantity of the Simcha and the merriment. So Eile Pekudei HaMishkan means that we weren't just building a Mishkan, but it was with the same depth of Simcha, the satisfaction, the pride, the exuberance, because only something qualitatively that's on the same level, if that went into my bloodstream, then this must go into my bloodstream as well. And that's what the Tanchuma means, explains the Sifarno, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan achieves atonement for the Chet of the Egel, because the Chato Gedoyla by the Egel was the Simcha aspect, which made it a part of me, which made an indelible impression, which mamash put it in my bones, into my bloodstream. Only something on the opposite end with the same level of qualitative depth can achieve atonement. And that brings us to mitzvahs in general. What more appropriate time is there to give a shiur on this quality of simcha than a month of Purim, when we speak about mishenichnas adar marbim besimcha? Of course we're always supposed to be besimcha, but there's an added element and recognition of the qualitative depth of simcha during this month. Allow me to explain. In general, it means that when it comes to our performance of mitzvahs, it might be tefillin, limud haTorah, chesed, tzitzis. These things have to change us. They have to transform us. They have to mamish become an indispensable chelek of our lives. How does one achieve that? How does one make mitzvahs mamish an indispensable part of who they are, that it should change and transform? The answer is, this is a critical nekuda for us to hear and to give over to our families. We must inject and infuse this with simcha. It cannot be viewed or given over as a burden, but it has to be given over with a simcha, with a joy, with a barimzachkeit, one that we sincerely and genuinely feel. I take a look in the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura brings down Simin Tov Rei Samach Tes Yud Aleph in the Halachos of Simchas Torah. It's written that the Arizal said, such a powerful comment, the Arizal said that the elevated level that he achieved, and we obviously cannot even fathom the elevated level of the Arizal, the elevated level that he achieved came as a result of his rejoicing with the simcha, with all of strength, in the simcha shel mitzvah. The joy and the simcha that he exhibited when he did the ratzon of the Bairi, performed Hashem's will, that created an everlasting effect on the very being and the very person of the Arizal. Now, obviously, we can't comprehend the depth and profundity of that comment. Who could even imagine the exalted and elevated level of the Arizal? But on any term that we could possibly tap into understanding, the Arizal is saying that the levels that he achieved came as a result of the Simcha Shel Mitzvah, the rejoicing with all of his strength and the pride and the merriment and the excitement of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. It changes the very persona, the very being of a person. Perhaps then we could translate those words, Mishenichas Adar Marbe Mesimcha. In preparing the shir, I thought maybe it means something else. Of course, literally, it means what I just told you, that in the month of Adar, we increase our joy, our simcha. But perhaps we could put a comma, after the third word. Mishenichnas Adar, in the month of Adar, marvim. A person has to work on marvim. What does the word marvim mean? Riboy, how to become great. How does a person become a marvim? And the answer is besimcha, with this midah of simcha. I hold we're saying something that certainly we could apply to ourselves. It's true, as I said a moment ago, all year. But specifically, and we'll see why, it's Purim and the month of Adar and the Megillah in a moment. But let's say that again, Rabbi Yisai, Mishenichnas Adar, what we have to work on is marbim, becoming a marbim, becoming someone that's great. How do we become a marbim? The answer is besimcha, with an infusion of simcha. When something has this excitement, the merriment that the Arizal spoke about, that midah of simcha is what makes a person into a marvim. And why? Why is the person becoming great? How does the simcha make a marvim? What, is it magical? We just explained. Because that midah of simcha takes that deed, takes that mitzvah, and injects it into your bloodstream, into your very bones. It becomes embedded into your very persona. So quite literally, it's true. Simcha makes you a marbim. How does it make you a greater person? For now those deeds are in you. They're a chelik of your very essence, who you are. This is mamish, the story of Purim. We accepted the Torah by Har Sinai, but as Taisa says, the Gemara tells us, we accept it without the Eish HaGedolah. The Eish HaGedolah means we accepted it without the simcha, without the passion, without the pride, without the merriment, the excitement, the enthusiasm. We know that to be true. The mountain was placed over us, as the Gemara in Shabbos tells us. And Tosis explains why. Because we were frightened from the Eish HaGedolah. And the Eish HaGedolah means that now we had to be coerced. Fast forward almost 996 years later, approximately 1,000 years later, what does it say in the Megillah? Megillas Esther, Kimu v'Kiblu. We took and we accepted upon ourselves, and of course, what do Chazal say on the words Kimu v'Kiblu? Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar, we took upon ourselves and accepted and affirm that which we had taken upon ourselves earlier. What is this a reference to? The Torah. Except this time, Rabbi Yisai, it was a Kabbalah b'ahava. It was a Kabbalah b'simcha. La Yehudim ha'isa oira b'simcha. Perhaps we could translate it to mean oira is Torah. Even though oira is one thing and simcha is another and sason vikar are two others, maybe we could translate it to mean like Yehuda Moisa Oira, that what was the greatness of the Oira that we accepted on Purim? V'simcha, because now it was done v'simcha. Now it was done with an ahava. And now it became a chelek of our very being. It affected the very person. It was in our bloodstream. As we've said countless times already, it takes a mechanical deed and makes it injected within your very bones. It makes you a marbim. When we accepted the Torah by Har Sinai, we were coerced. It was missing this element. Mishenichnas Adar marbim b'simcha. Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu mashe kiblu kvar. We took upon ourselves what we once had, but this time it was with a simcha. It was willingly. It was with an eish. It was with a passion, an exuberance, a joy, a merriment. And when it's with a simcha, la'yehudim ha'isa oira, what was the greatness of this Torah? The simcha. And that contributed to the Hatzalah and how we were saved. It's the essence of Purim, it's the essence of the Megillah, it's the essence of Chodesh Adar, and quite accurately it is what the Sifarno says, how and only with the same qualitative depth of simcha applied to the Mishkan can one achieve atonement for the Chata Gedoyla known as the Ego. Kimu v'kiblu. There is a pshat that I've said over countless times from my father's atzal. It's in Sefer Imre Mordechai. It's a pshat, as I said, we've said it many times, but in light of the Sifarno, I would like to use the Sifarno to explain what my father's atzal brings down. And it's a hakdama that I'm very comfortable giving. For any time that I say this pshat from a sefer, may Mordechai very comfortably say, it may very well be one of for sure, but perhaps the most powerful pshat brought down in the sefer. And every time I say this pshat, I give it that hakdama. That's how I believe the power of this pshat is. Let's remember the pshat b'kitzer. If one takes a look in Megillas Esther, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Hey, Esther asks Hasach, which of course Chazal tell us according to many was Daniel. Why is Mordechai in sackcloth? What's going on? What is it that I'm not aware of? And the verbiage that the Pasuk says she used was V'tisaveyu al Mordechai Lodas, Mazeh v'al Mazeh. What's this and what's this? Which is another way in the vernacular of saying what's going on. The Medrash in Esther Rabbah tells us a very deep pshat when she said the word mazeh, v'yal mazeh, she used the word zeh twice. She was referencing two other items. When she said the first zeh, she was referencing the zeh that's found in the Oz Yashir of zeh keli v'anveyu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. Which, of course, Chazal tell us it's the Gemara that speaks out in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. Zekeli v'anveyu is another way of referring to what we call Hidur Mitzvah. I'll beautify a mitzvah. So she wanted to know with the first Zeh, is Klal Yisrael remiss in the Zeh of Zekeli v'anveyu Hidur Mitzvah? And what's the second Zeh she was referencing? The Zeh, which the Pasuk tells us regarding the Luchais, it's written in Shema Yislam and Beis Tezvav, Mizeh u'mizeh heim ksuvah, Mizeh u'mizeh heim ksuvah, means it was written on both sides of the Luchais. So that's the uses of the word Zeh. In other words, the Medrash says, she was essentially asking Mordechai a question, Ma Zeh, v'yal Ma Zeh? She wanted to know, were the Jews deserving of this evil decree, lahashmi laharug v'la'abed, to be totally annihilated and wiped out because they were remiss in two zehs, the zeh of the luchais and the zeh of hidur mitzvah. Ad kan the words of the Medrash. And as you know from the countless times we've said the pshat, my father's atzal wondered on the Medrash, I don't understand. Are those two zehs even equatable? She wanted to know, and she was referencing subliminally the zeh of the luchais, as it says, mizeh u'mizehim ksuvim, and the zeh of hidur mitzvah, about which it says, zeh keli v'anveyu. Can you even equate being remiss on those two things? If you want to tell me that we were remiss of the zeh of the luchais, the mizeh u'mizehim ksuvim, we weren't keeping the luchais, well, naturally, if you don't keep the Torah, Klal Yisrael is going to be annihilated and wiped out. But how do you explain the others that we didn't keep Hidur Mitzvah? Now, not keeping Hidur Mitzvah is bad. Of course you should buy a better Esrog and a better pair of tzitzis and a better talis and a better pair of tefillin. But you're going to tell me that being remiss in Hidur Mitzvah is enough of a reason for Klal Yisrael to Chalila be annihilated? You're putting the Zev, Zekeli Vanveu, on the same level of being remiss in the Zev, the Luchais? My father's Atzal explains, you're not understanding the depth of what Heder Mitzvah is supposed to accomplish. Heder Mitzvah, as we said a moment ago, means to spend more on the tzitzis, the tefillin, the talis, the mezuzah, whatever the item might be. Spend more money on it. But why don't we take a look at the behind the scenes, the psychology of what Heder Mitzvah accomplishes? We know that a person will spend more time and effort, more money, more resources on something that's dear to them. If they like watches, they'll put their money and time into that. If they're into clothing, they'll put their time and their money into that. If cars are their things, houses, fancy, whatever it might be, then that's where they're going to exhaust their energy, their resources, their money. That becomes a thing that's chashuv to them. Watches and cars and homes and yachts and jewelry and the materialism, that becomes indispensable to them. The person is showing and dictating by the time and the resources that they spend on something how valuable or not valuable something is to them. Critical ingredient we have to realize is that our children and our generations pick up on this concept of what's valuable or not valuable to you. When a person performs this Hidur Mitzvah, it's not only that they're spending more money on the Dalet Minim or more money on spending for the mezuzah or whatever the religious item might be. Hidur Mitzvah is accomplishing something much deeper. Hidur Mitzvah is proclaiming, this is what I spend my time and my effort, my money and my resources on. Because this is what's chashuv to me. This is what's meaningful to me. The message that's being given to a child, to somebody that's watching the Zaydi, you mamish, mamish, do heder mitzvah and dalet minim, or whichever mitzvah it might be. It's not merely that you're doing heder mitzvah. You're essentially proclaiming to your dayreis how important the mitzvah is to you, how much the very mitzvah means to you. And here my father Zatzal says, and I realize it's a very, very powerful thing to say, if a person does not perform Heder Mitzvah, then while it's he performing the mitzvah, except he didn't do it with Heder Mitzvah, it may very well be that Chalila, by his children or his Einiklach, not that they'll do the mitzvah, but it also won't be with Heder Mitzvah. They won't do the Etzem Mitzvah. They'll stop doing the actual Chetz of the Mitzvah because they'll say to themselves, if this was not important enough to my Tati or my Zaydi to do as a Heder Mitzvah, it must be that the Etzem Mitzvah was not so important, because as we already established the premise, you spend your time, your resources, on money on what's chashuv and valuable to you. So it's not merely that they're seeing you do something without Heder Mitzvah. They're essentially internalizing the lesson, if you're not doing it with the Heder Mitzvah, it must be that the Mitzvah itself doesn't mean very much to you. And in one, two, or three generations, they will stop doing Chalila Rachmana Litzlan, the actual Mitzvah. Such is the power of Heder Mitzvah, or lack thereof. To the parents who did the mitzvah without Heder Mitzvah, he was sending a deep message, essentially saying, the mitzvah itself isn't that important to me. That's certainly the way your child and your Einikel will internalize it, because they see it was lacking Heder Mitzvah, then the mitzvah itself couldn't have been that important. And it will turn out that generations later, Chalila, they'll stop keeping the actual mitzvah, Rachmana Litzlan. And that, my father says, is the pshat in the Medrash. She said the Jews were being remiss in two zehs. One was the zeh of not keeping the luchais, and the other was the zeh of not keeping Heder Mitzvah. And we asked the question, could they be equated? Absolutely. Because not keeping the Zev, either mitzvah may translate in a couple of generations into not keeping the actual mitzvahs. And farshteisach, of course, everyone understands that if one doesn't keep the Torah, one doesn't keep the Taryag mitzvahs, Chalila, the Jews could be eradicated and annihilated as Haman sought to do. That's the pshat in Hidur mitzvah. Hidur mitzvah means this is choshev to me. I do it with a simcha, with an ava, with a merriment, with a joy. Perhaps with this pshat of my father's atzal, we could explain it with the sifarno that we opened up with. If one does hidur mitzvah, then it's not just that they're doing a hidur to the mitzvah. According to the sifarno, when they do hidur mitzvah, they're infusing and injecting the actual deed of the mitzvah with an ahava, with a simcha, with a joy and a merriment. And what did the sifarno say? It becomes a part of the person. It becomes a chelik of his persona, becomes embedded in his bones. It becomes injected into his bloodstream. Oh, now the mitzvah is mamash a chelik of who you are. As a chelik of who you are, it could be there to help save Klal Yisrael in the Purim story. So I think the Sifarno adds depth to the pshat of my father's atzal in explaining why without Hidur mitzvah, eventually the mitzvah will be lost. And with Hidur mitzvah, the mitzvah will remain for perpetuity. With Hidur mitzvah, the simcha is making the mitzvah a chelik of your bones and bloodstream for perpetuity. But without Hidur mitzvah, it's just a superficial mechanical deed. And in two generations, that may chalila be lost. I think the Sifarno is the hesber in why with Hidur mitzvah, the mitzvah remains, and without it, it doesn't. We should talk about b'zaycha to the bracha. The pasuk says, v'simach es ishtoi. A person is to gladden his wife, gladden your spouse. The word v'simach is spelled vav shin mem ches. It has the gematria of 354. V'simach. How many days are in a Jewish year, in a Jewish cycle, the lunar year? 354. Maybe Chazal are teaching us v'simach es ishto. You're to gladden the spouse, and by extension, she to he, and he to she, and one yid to another. V'simach, 354 days a year, every day of the Jewish lunar year. Yes, of course, it's a reference to Adar. We become marbim with the vehicle of simcha. But maybe the pasuk is teaching us the relationship between spouses and between generations, and we one yid to another must be v'simach. And v'simach, we just said, is the gematria of 354, reminding us this quality of simcha must, we should at least try to make it present in our daily lives. It will make people happier. It will make ourselves happier people. It's the right way to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. May we merit, since the binyan of the Mishkan that had the qualitative depth of simcha was enough to achieve atonement for the Chatah Gedolah of the Egel, may we show the Ribbono Shel Olam the simach that every day we will try to inject ourselves with this quality of simcha, the pride and the exuberance in that which we do, so that it will once again bring about Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, the Binyan HaMishkan, that of the Bayis Shlishi, B'mheira B'yameinu, Amen.